From the high desert in the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whatever the case may be, in whatever time zone you're residing in, each and every one of them around the world. That's a long way. Covered by this program, Coast to Coast AM, the largest program of its type in the world. Great to be here. My honor and privilege to be escorting you through the weekend. The webcam photograph tonight at Coast to Coast AM on our webcam is Yeti. People have complained they haven't seen Yeti of late, and they haven't. Because our new little one that we tend to favor photographically hangs around Abby. They are best buddies. And so when we've had cat photographs up in the past, it's been the two of them for the most part. Yeti is still here. Well, happy, ruling his kingdom. And oh, he is a ruler too. There's a photograph of him taken about an hour ago. I would like to commend CNN headline news. Been watching it for the last hour and a half or so. And they have been on the crawl at the bottom of the screen running all of the recalled pet foods. And I think they deserve plenty of props for that. It's a kind of an arduous list to read, but, you know, you keep looking for your own pet food there. Haven't seen mine yet. And worrying. As I said last night, and I won't repeat myself, except to say there needs to be a agency of some sort. Yes, a government agency. There would be a central clearinghouse for information of this kind. Anyway, props to CNN for doing the right thing. God knows how many animals and how much grief they will save by doing that. We will get to unscreened open lines, but first, look at the news. Never good. The powerful Shiite cleric al-Sadr ordered his militiamen on Sunday to redouble their battle to oust American forces. And they argued that Iraq's army and police should join him in defending your arch enemy. The U.S. military announced the weekend deaths of 10 American soldiers, including 6 killed on Sunday. Security remained so tenuous in the capital on the eve of the 4th anniversary of the U.S. capture of Baghdad that Iraq's military declared a 24-hour ban on all vehicles in the capital from 5 a.m. Monday. Government quickly reinstated Monday as a holiday. Just a day after it had declared that April 9th no longer would be a day off. Well, that's a way to start a revolution in a country. Tell everybody they've got a day off and then cancel it. In a rueful reflection on what might have been, an Iraqi government insider details in 500 pages the U.S.'s occupation, calls it shocking mismanagement of his country. A performance so bad, he writes, that by 2007, Iraqis had turned their backs on their would-be liberators. The corroded and corrupt state of Saddam was replaced by a corroded, inefficient, incompetent, and corrupt state of the new order. Otherwise, I guess it was fine. Don Imus is going to appear with Al Sharpton, going to go on Al Sharpton's radio program just 5 days after Imus made racially charged comments on his own show. And by the way, Sharpton has not changed his mind about trying to roust Imus, as he'll continue to write the FCC a letter. The 15 British sailors and Marines held in Iran for nearly 2 weeks have permission now to sell their stories to the media. Ministry of Defense said Sunday that there's exceptional interest in all of this. The decision drew complaints from some opposition politicians who said the whole thing could tarnish the image of Britain's armed forces. A teenager once arrested alongside her mother in a prostitution case has now been accused of running an escort service out of her suburban Chicago home using the popular website Craigslist. Kimberly Peterson, boy, Craigslist been in the news a lot lately. Kimberly Peterson, 17, arrested after detectives doing a routine search of the site's classified boards found one including an offer to enjoy a beautiful blonde for X number of dollars per hour. All right, in a moment, we will look at the rest of the news. By the way, folks, I've been keeping track. You know, I've got, of course, a very public email. Incidentally, if you want to email me, I'm artbell@mindspring.com. ArtBell at mindspring.com or artbell@aol.com. And I've been keeping track now for about a year of the amount of money that I've been offered due to, well, any number of things, winning lotteries. Sometimes my email, apparently for some reason, just wins large amounts of money. And, of course, the ever-present passing of some Nigerian government official. Anyway, I've been keeping a running total. And thus far, I have passed up, in about the last year, $113,457,009,427. That's a lot of money. $113,475,009,427. Just passed it right up. I'll keep a running total. All right, bees. I guess I have been receiving more email of late about the bee disappearance than any other single subject we talk about on the air. Einstein said if honeybees should disappear from the earth, so would plant, animal, and human life disappear within 4 years. An additional observation stated that we humans owe every third bite of food to honeybees. That may be underdone. There is a problem here in the U.S. that's been reported in around half the states now and has now spread to Canada as well. The U.K. and 8 other European countries also are reporting the same problem. They're gone. The bees, Spain, Poland, Greece, Croatia, Switzerland, Italy, Portugal, Germany. This is getting really scary. One British Telegraph newspaper said that in London, over 4,000 hives. In London alone, that would be 2/3 of the bees are simply now gone. Sometimes the dead bees are found, but often the bees seem to have simply been raptured. One of the strangest parts of the whole story, the mystery, is that in London, at least, no robber bees have invaded the empty hives to make off with the stored honey, which is usually what happens when hives are left empty. Chomping quotes John Chappell, head of the London Beekeepers Association, as saying, "It's frightening. The mortality rate is the highest in living memory. No one seems to know what's behind it. Nobody." The guesses range right across the board. On a recent conference call on the subject, Dr. Carlo thinks that the sudden demise might have something to do with EMF, electromagnetic radiation. He cites the startling stats that at present there are about 2.5 billion cell phone users around the world. While this, plus the explosive growth of cell phone towers, used to be the major concern, the problem has now been significantly exacerbated by the recent introduction of satellite radio. Now, I don't really buy into this, folks, but here's one person blaming the whole thing on electromagnetic radiation. So I have no idea what's causing the disappearance of the bees, but of all the stories we're following right now, this would seem to have the most immediate consequences for humankind. No food. No bees, no pollination, no food. So with all the things going wrong, this one would seem to be catching us the most quickly. Would you agree with that? I mean, we've got global warming, but that's out around 2040, 2050, when the really serious consequences manifest, if they're right. We've got the coming sun cycle looking toward 2011, 2012. But if 2/3 of the bees are gone now, well, my goodness, that would seem to have rather immediate consequences. All right, I'm going to very shortly now take open line unscreened calls. That means when I answer, you should immediately turn off your radio. You'll hear me answer, and you'll hear kind of a sound, I think, and then you'll know you're on the air. I'll say it. Reach over and right away turn off the radio, despite the temptation to hear yourself on the radio. Turn it off because it will confuse you and make you actually sound confused on the air, and I know you don't want that. So let me give out the numbers right now. If you're here west of the Rockies, the magic portal number is 1-800-618-8255. If you're east of the Rockies, big chunk of people, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers, we love you. Area code 818-501-4721. That's area 818-501-4721. Wildcard line, folks. Area code 818-501-4109. And finally, if you're outside the country, yes, there is a way. It's area code 818. Whoops. No, it's free. Get hold of your international operator and have her call 800-893-0903. That's 800-893-0903. Well, all right. We humans have been trying to figure out how we'll be affected by global warming. We realize that other species, such as penguins, polar bears, and such, are vulnerable, but something we rarely notice, coral, may perish in warmer waters, and this will affect the fish we humans eat. While humans can survive large temperature fluctuations, corals are only comfortable within about a 12-degree temperature range, and rising global temperatures appear to be threatening their very survival. Coral. So like the bees, coral at some level is very important. According to biologist Drew Harville, the warm temperatures that have been occurring worldwide as a result of global warming appear to be now creating fatal epidemics in coral reefs all around the globe. In The Independent, Steve Connor points out that tropical coral reefs are the places where fish congregate. Many of these fish are fish that people worldwide depend on for food. More than half these reefs are becoming degraded beyond repair. According to Connor, it would take an additional area of coral four times, it says, the size of the Great Barrier Reef, the biggest system in the world, to sustain current fishing levels. So, think about it a little bit. The honeybees disappearing. I had a caller who said they were raptured, which I've sort of grabbed onto. I like that. That takes care of an awful lot of the food on land. And if the coral and other sea things just die, these dead areas in the ocean continue, we really will have a pretty significant food problem soon. Well, that climate study I told you about came out, but it did not come out untouched. They were fighting about the language. In other words, for example, how many people really will be affected? How many millions of people? Well, they're going to actually say how many millions? About 120 million. Or hundreds of millions. But they changed that. They changed a whole lot of it. Scientists actually managed to get the last word, but they changed a lot of it. Some of the highlights: more than one-sixth of the world's population live in glacier or snowmelt river basins and will be affected by a decrease of water volume, and depending on how much fossil fuels there are burned in the future, 982 to 983 million people are likely to move into the water-stressed category by, here we go, 2050. Global warming could increase the number of hungry people in the world in 2080 by anywhere between 140 million and 1 billion, depending on how much greenhouse gas is emitted over the next few decades. Overall, a 2- to 3-fold increase of population to be flooded expected by 2080. Malaria, diarrhea diseases, dengue fever, tick-borne diseases, heat-related deaths will all rise with global warming. But in the United Kingdom, the drop in cold-related deaths will be bigger than the increase in heat stroke-related deaths. In eastern North America, depending on fossil fuel emissions, smog will increase, and there'd be a 4.5% increase in smog-related deaths because global warming will, of course, hurt the poor more. There'll be more social equality concerns and pressure for governments to do more. Lake Superior's warming is accelerating. Yeah, that's right, Lake Superior. Past generation Lake Superior has been warming even faster than the climate around it, according to a new study. Attributed to reduced ice cover because of milder winters, the warming has caused the lake's summer season to begin about 2 weeks earlier than it did 27 years ago. It is, said Jay Austin, assistant professor with Large Lakes Observatory and the Department of Physics at UMD, quote, a remarkably rapid rate of change. So no matter where you look, the environment seems to be morphing around us or under our feet, however you want to think about it. All right, here we go. Let's dive in. First time caller line, you are on the air.
Hey, how are you tonight?
Yes.
This is Epoch from Oregon.
Welcome.
So, what do you like think about us doing the job of the bees?
You mean flitting about from flower to flower and pollinating?
Indeed so. I don't think it's impossible. I mean, we have the technology.
Well, I suppose we do. I don't know why. We had one very large bee outside our house here in Nevada, which we watched the other day. We had only one, and a little guy, we were urging him on from flower to flower, and he dutifully went around and pollinated, spread it all around. But in terms of doing it ourselves, I don't know, how would you suggest it be done?
I'm sure we could figure out something. I guess like a little Q-tip, and if everybody did enough, we would really have it. Like if we all grew our gardens and we all pollinated our own stuff.
Do you have really sweet lips?
Sometimes. Depends on if I've been eating cotton candy.
I can almost see you. Well, that's a vision.
Cool.
Anyway, I don't know. Could humans do the pollinator? It's actually a pretty good question, and I don't know the answer.
I see. And you know what? I've been seeing some wild bees up here. I'm living on a mountaintop.
Yes.
And I see these bees, and they're larger than the most of the bees that, you know, I've seen in the past. And
yes, it was the one we had here. Really big. In fact, it was a little scary.
Did it have red on it?
I think it did. Yes, this guy was really big.
Yeah, monster ultra mega bee with red. And I've been seeing a lot of those more than like your average little honeybee.
I don't suppose they've actually eaten the little ones.
I considered that, actually.
He did look fat. I mean, there could have been any number of little bees, normal size bees, in his gut.
Indeed so, perhaps there.
I don't know, I'm making light of this, but it's actually, you know, it's very, very serious.
Indeed so, but they could be bees from another place that are, in fact, devouring our honeybees. I'll miss the honey, though. I don't think I can create honey.
I don't think so. Well, anyway, let me know how you do. Can we somehow do the job of the bees? I actually doubt it. I mean, that's a really big job. Yes, they're little fellows and little gals, but bees do have sexes, right? But it's a big job. I mean, it's a monstrous job. We underrate what insects do. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, I was wondering if you ever experimented with marijuana.
Why do you ask? Why would you ask me such a question?
It's because I always wondered...
Have you?
Like, if you ever had any, like, psychedelic experiences.
Have you experimented?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
Okay, and what's your phone number?
My phone number?
Uh-huh. And your address?
I can't tell you.
And what other psychedelics have you done beyond marijuana? LSD, huh? Drop some LSD, did you?
I don't know. Why do you...
Let's have your social security number. Well, I mean, come on, now, think about it for a moment. Think about it. Think about what you just did. You called me up on the air and asked me if I did something illegal. Now, everybody knows who I am, right? So
yeah,
what kind of answer do you expect? Give me a break.
Well, you don't have to get upset about it.
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm having fun with you.
You can claim the Fifth, you and I won't care.
All right. I claim the Fifth Amendment against, what is it? Protecting myself and self-incrimination, something like that, right? What a question to call up and ask somebody on the air. Good heavens to Betsy. From the high desert in the great American Southwest, I'm Art Bell. From Whitley Strieber's Unknown Country, cars that fix their own dents are on the way. Now, this surely must be from the Roswell crash, right? Wouldn't it be great? Well, actually, it's going to be great because it's actually coming. We're going to have cars that, when you have a fender bender, simply snap back into shape. So I guess no getting out and yelling. All you do is get out and look, make sure it's snapped back into shape, and drive away. No more insurance companies. No more overcharging for rebending the metal the way it ought to be. Wouldn't that be really spiffy? Whole thing is done at the cellular level, I guess. And it'll be coming in the next few years. So look for it. I bet you it came from Roswell. Back with all of you and unscreened open lines in a moment. Top of the hour, Todd Standing, and we're going to be talking about Bigfoot, one of my favorite topics. Listen, this is sort of interesting. Jerry in McCook, Nebraska says, hey, Art, what if the bees are just rebelling? What if they're sick of it all? What if they've moved their colonies into the wild like the song says, take this job and, yeah, well, you know. What if the bees are smart and just got tired of working for us? Kind of doubt that one, but one never knows. Wildcard line, you are on the air. Hello? Going once, going twice, gone like the wind. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art. How's it going?
It's going well.
Good. Hey, I wanted to call to say about Todd Standing.
Yes.
I went to his trailer. I'm actually from the same city he's from. Mm-hmm. And I went to his trailer here, and he promotes it as being a documentary, correct? But when you went to it, like, it started off showing the footage and showing the Bigfoot and all that. And then all of a sudden, it morphed into this, like, Blair Witch Project movie. Like, I think he's a hoaxer, personally, because his documentary morphed into a movie about, like, these happy-go-lucky 20-something teens that went into the woods and got lost, and then, like, a Bigfoot was chasing them or something like that.
Yeah, I haven't had the opportunity. I tried to get on his website, and it was clogged up and didn't come up earlier,
yeah.
So I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, but I'm just saying beware because, and everyone in the whole theater afterwards knew that, well, what is this? Because he said it was documentary, but then it just turned into this big joke. And so I think he was just trying to get publicity for his movie by promoting that he's actually a serious researcher.
Okay, well, we'll find out.
We'll find out. Okay.
All right, thank you very much. We will certainly ask. Let's see. Todd Standing is a documentarian. Yeah, he is a documentarian. Responsible for the website Chronicles and mini-documentary entitled Svanik. The past 3 years, he and his team have been struggling to prove one of the most controversial anthropological issues in the history of North America, the discovery of Bigfoot. Well, he's done very serious research, so I don't know what he's done to promote his work, but we'll find out. We'll ask him. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Okay, I'm not able to hear whoever that is. All right, well, they've got the radio on or something. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
I'm Donna from Vancouver, BC.
Hi, Donna.
Hi. It's so nice to talk to you. What a surprise. I didn't think I'd get through.
That's how it works.
Anyway, I wanted to tell you a really cute bee story, but first of all, I just want to say that I love the bees very much, and I'm very sad that they're kind of going away.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed this for the past, 3 or 4 years or so. And what I always do is go out to the flowers and I coax them onto my hands and they walk around my fingers and on my hands.
See, I don't do that.
Why not?
Well, because they sometimes sting.
No, they don't sting.
Well, they do.
Because they know, they can sense, I think. Just like if you approach a dog that you love, he can sense what you're about, you know?
Well, that's true. In other words, you're claiming the bees know that you're loving, you love bees, and so they treat you accordingly.
I love bees so much that I would love to go to a beekeeper's farm and ask him if he could just put something over my eyes and my nose, and just so I don't inhale anything, you know, and have them.
And then allow yourself to be covered head to foot by bees.
Yes, head to foot.
I'd enjoy watching that, actually.
Well, that'd be nice. I'll let you know. But anyway, when you told that story, or you said one night that you thought if the bees were dying, their little bee bodies would be laying with the little bee legs up
That's
in the
right.
air.
That's right.
Well, the next
it was that was sort of a...
Well, I could picture that, you know.
Form of speech.
And anyway, I left my apartment the next day to go out. And just a few feet down the hallway, I thought what I saw was a spider laying there. Black little thing, and kind of creeped me out for a minute, but I looked a little closer, and there, guess what it was?
A bee with his little legs up in the air.
You're right. And I thought, I hope he's not dead. So I put my hand down, and sure enough, the little guy walked on my finger, and he walked around all over my hand, and we finally got towards the window. He started to buzz. He wasn't buzzing to begin with. But you know that when they wash themselves just like a cat, around the eyes, you know, around the face?
No, I
their
did
little
not
bee,
know that.
Bee legs?
No, I didn't
did
know that.
Did you know that?
No, absolutely not.
Well, you know now. Anyway, I got the little guy out the window, and I thought he was injured, but he wasn't. He just wanted to pay me a visit in the hallway, and he flew away.
Well,
so that was my present, I think, from God, because he knows that the bees are dying. And this may be one of my last chances to touch a bee.
Well, maybe you save the bee that will I watched a documentary earlier on cable, which was called Genesis. And the documentarian was a the presenter, as it were, if you're British, was an Indian fellow. And he said, 1 and 1 is 3. So maybe you just saved one of the mates that will produce the only in nature do you find that equation, 1 and 1 is 3. So maybe you just saved the one that'll contribute to the third. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, hello. Well, I think about the bees, not to make too light of it, but God, we have to laugh. I think maybe somebody should set up a sting operation.
I suppose even in the possible end of the world or food as we know it, you have to find some humor.
Well, yes, and you know what they say about the arts, that, you know, it's what keeps us from screaming too much. Oh, art. Oh, I just got that. Hey, pun optional. Yeah, but, you know, I specifically called tonight to tell you, to put you on to a word that was a new word to me, and the word is femtosecond. Are you hip to femtosecond?
Say it again slower.
Okay, let me spell it. F as in Frank, E-M-T-O-S-E-C-O-N-D. Femtosecond.
Femtosecond. No, it's new. What does it mean?
Yeah, okay, well, I found it in something and then went to the good old Wikipedia, and it is, okay, a femtosecond, in other words, a femtosecond is to a second what a second is to 100 million years.
Wow.
Yeah. And one of the great examples they give, 100 femtoseconds, for instance, if you're traveling at the speed of the light, 100 femtoseconds is the time it takes you to cross a human hair.
Whew.
I thought you'd like that.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it is.
No. I mean, it's a sort of, you know, like off topic, but like open lines are.
Well, no, that's right. It's open lines. Is this an offshoot of nanotechnology somehow?
You know, I think that's what it is. And if you look it up in Wikipedia, their definition, it says 1E-15s. I guess if you typed in femtosecond, they would take you to that. But I think, and then underneath it is orders of magnitude by powers of seconds. So way over my head, I can't tell you. But
all right, very interesting. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. Good night.
A femtosecond. That is my first exposure to that word, and I love new words. A wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Oh, hello, Art. It's been a long time since we talked.
Okay.
This is concerns about a man helping out to pollinate things.
Yes.
On the flowers. This has been a good while back. There had been some experimentation, especially with cornfields, using speakers and then using a variable sounds at different frequencies to see how this would move the air and help pollinate. This goes back almost 30 years.
Did it work?
It was working, but apparently I've never heard any follow-up on it. Of course, maybe the fact was the bees were doing their thing back then, and you know, it might have kind of, pardon the pun, died on the vine. But, you know, this may be time to resurrect some of these wild-haired thoughts, and, you know, we aren't going to need all the help we can get.
It may be. With the bees going wherever they're going away, and with as much trouble as we are having with the world's oceans, in other words, no fish left in 50 years if nothing changes, I mean, that's most of the world's food supply, isn't it? That which is pollinated on land, and then, of course, we've got the sea, or do we?
Yeah, that definitely is a major problem. I live not too far from the Gulf Coast here. I live in Louisiana, so I'm about 60 miles from the coast, and I've watched this happen through our marshes and everything. I do a lot of fishing. And
now, I was going to ask you that. If you go fishing and catch a bunch of fish, are you comfortable, completely comfortable, bringing them home and then eating them, or do you worry a little?
No, actually, I feel fairly comfortable. There have been certain areas that we had been restricted in the past, like around in the Calcasieu area around Lake Charles.
Right.
Below there, they had a lot of mercury contamination. So crabs, shellfish, oysters, they monitored that quite close, and they would put alerts out. You know, they kept that up there, but it's really cleared up tremendously. But there have been other problems, too. Of course, after Katrina, everybody was worried about the contamination in the marsh due to the oil and other chemicals that were dumped in there, as to wondering how, you know, how long that was going to take it before it started dispersing to be to safe levels. But I haven't heard anything back that would say anything that was, you know, prohibitive.
All right. Well, it's a worry, because I just read a story, I think the other day, from the Philippines. Philippine stories tend to catch my attention. About quite a number of people who ate some fish that they caught there and got, actually several died, and many more got very ill, paralyzed from eating the fish, and of course it was contamination. So I don't know. Land and sea, if you put them together, they supply a very great deal of the percentage of the food that we all eat. Wildcard line, you are on the air. Whoops, would have been. Sorry, I think I did that. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, who am I speaking with?
The person you called.
Yeah, well, I'm listening to you on the radio when you were talking to someone else.
Mm-hmm. Well, now I'm talking to you.
Okay, good. Is this Art?
Yes.
Okay. My name is Arnold.
Hi, Arnold.
How are you doing?
Fine.
Would you like to know what I called about?
Absolutely.
Okay. What would you say if I told you that I have been appointed by God to be a watchman?
To be a watchman?
Yes.
Well, I guess I would first ask how you spoke to God or received a message from God. I'm always interested in that.
Visions, signs. Through dreams, visions, signs, and wonders, which is mentioned in the last days in the Bible.
So you think these are the last days?
I'm sure they're the last days of something. You know, exactly what, I'm not sure.
Probably the bees.
Excuse me?
Last days of the bees.
Of the bees. Yeah, that is, you know, that is a little scary.
It is.
Yes.
It is actually... Actually, you know, when you think about it, it could be a biblical sign, couldn't it?
Oh, yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Really that big, yeah. Really that big. So anyway, in whatever way it occurred, you are to be a watcher. And what are you to watch?
I wrote a book, you know, about my experiences.
Well, I can't let you promote a book here on the radio, I'm afraid.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, listen.
Unless you're a guest. Now, if you really got a good message from God, you might be able to get on as a guest, and then you...
Oh, okay. Well, I would love that. Hey, listen, I just sent you two emails, and they are basically the same email, but they have, they have two different subject lines.
Okay, well, let me ask again. Other than giving me a response of it's in my book, what are you supposed to watch for?
I'm supposed to warn. Are you familiar with the Bible at all, any?
I've read it, yes.
Okay. Are you familiar with Ezekiel 33?
Somewhat, yes.
That's where...
wheel?
Excuse me?
The wheel and all?
Excuse me?
The wheel and all, Ezekiel?
Oh, no, that's not in Ezekiel 33. I'm not sure what chapter that's in.
Somewhere
but,
in Ezekiel.
But that is Ezekiel, you know, yes. In Ezekiel 33, Ezekiel is appointed by God to be a watchman. And I think it says something to the effect that when he sees the sword coming, he's supposed to warn the people. You know, he's supposed to blow the horn, I think it says, or something like that, or the trumpet.
Gabe's horn, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can you play the horn?
Okay. How's that?
Well, actually, that's very close. I think there's more to it, but that you definitely have the right chord there. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How you doing, Art?
Pretty well.
Good. I just wanted to... I'm calling from Whitewater, California, and I had a little experience the other night. Well, actually, it was a long time ago, but it was in a dream. I saw what appeared to be God carrying a sheep herder's staff.
Really?
Yeah, and you know,
the second caller in a row. What are the odds for that? He had he's been appointed as a watcher slash.
I'm not appointed as anything, but it was just kind of. At the time I was using drugs and I cleaned up, but I think at the time I overdosed, and that was God bringing me back to life, you know, and, that was a vision that I had, and it was so real, and, it was so gentle and kind and loving, you know, and I just wanted to share that with you.
Well, you know, most people, of course, are going to interpret that as a side effect of the drugs you were taking.
Yeah.
And even you can't say for sure that it might not have been. Either way, whatever it was, if it got you off the stuff, then good.
Yeah, and it did.
All right. Well, congratulations and stay clean. On the international line, somewhere out over the country, supposed to be anyway, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, me?
You.
Yeah, great. Finally. Hey, Art.
Hi. Where are you calling from?
California.
Oh. See, you're on my international line. What are you doing on that?
Oh, sorry. Happy Easter. Bye.
Okay, take care. You're not really allowed to do that. Not a whole lot of time, but East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Going
Hello?
Once. Yes, hi.
I was concerned about not only the disappearance of the bees, but the disappearance of our senior citizens. Especially single ones that have been victimized by their families under the guise of helping and giving comfort and taking the power of attorney and taking their homes against their wishes.
I've heard of that going on. I wish I had more time to devote to it, but we are dead right up against a break, so... Perhaps another time you and I can have more of a discussion about that. Actually, it is a big problem in the country from the high desert. In a moment, we turn to Bigfoot with Todd Standing.